Hello, welcome back to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby. Thanks again for tuning in. We are here from day four ACC kickoff at Charlotte, North Carolina at the Charlotte Hilton Hotel. It has been a fun full week up here in Uptown Charlotte, and we are closing it out, finishing the stretch, finishing the game, closing well, all the cliches you want. It's been a lot of fun. Tired, but a good, you know, a good tired, like you've done, like a good workout kind of tired. So super excited. We had four more teams to finish it out, and we're going to end up talking to 17 different teams here. And of course, that doesn't even include Notre Dame that plays five games, you know, with the ACC. So starting it off, we had NC State at the podium. They were 9-4 last year. Dave Doran is in his 12th year, 14th overall. Last year, they had 26.2 points per game. That was 75th. And then 20.8 giving up defensively. That was 26th in the country. The very good defense. They bring in Grayson McCall, the transfer from Coastal Carolina, had over 10,000 yards in his career, 88 touchdowns, three-time Sun Belt Player of the Year. Dude's just a winner, and it'll be very interesting to see how he kind of blends in with this together. I think the feel, which is kind of interesting, is that NC State has just the feel around this. Is NC State's one of the four or five teams that people are kind of thinking about, you know, who are going to be the two teams that are represented in Charlotte? And remember, there's no more divisions, so it's the top two teams that make it. And so NC State's been circled a few times. You know, Florida State won it last year. Clemson, you know, is usually in the mix of the conversation. Miami has been talked about a lot. And NC State, you know. So, and they've got, you know, they had Kevin, you know, Casey Concepcion. He was the ACC Rookie of the Year, second team All-ACC. He led ACC freshman with 10 receiving touchdowns. They get Jordan Waters, the running back from Duke. He transfers over. They do lose Peyton Wilson, who was a two-time first-team All-ACC, won both of the awards for defending linebacker. So you lose a lot. Usually, though, you feel pretty good about NC State defense. But, like, with all these teams, there usually are some questions. And so with NC State, it's like, how are these some of these pieces going to kind of come together? The defense has been pretty trusted, but how is that all going to kind of come together for them? Schedule-wise, they've got a really important one. It's not ACC, but they play Tennessee here in Charlotte, September 7th, week two. That's very big for them, and it's a very big one for the ACC. If they can win that game, that could be really big for the narrative, especially nationally. You've got probably like three games. We've been circling NC State, Tennessee, Clemson, and Georgia, and Atlanta. And let's see, Florida State, that's internal. But there's a couple, Miami and Florida, that's what I'm thinking of. Miami and Florida, that one's a big one. Probably between those three are big ones for the ACC to help, especially with the narrative going, you know, farther down the year, because, you know, some of these non-conference games, it really matters when you're trying to compare resumes, trying to compare different teams, and especially when, from the ACC's perspective as a conference, you're trying to get more than one team into a 12-team playoff. And so everybody assumes they're going to get, you know, multiple teams, but, you know, they're going to, you know, they pick the four best conference champions, and those are automatic qualifiers, and the rest are just at-larges. So, you know, these non-conference games are very big. That's very big for them. They have a really big game at Clemson on September 21st, their first true road game. They haven't won there a lot, really as much. They do go to California, but they get Wake at home, Syracuse at home, Stanford and Duke at home, and then finish at Georgia Tech, at North Carolina. So there definitely is a path. There's a path for them to make it to Charlotte. I think just the big thing for NC State is just with some of these transfers, is that really going to go well? And it all meshed together. And NC State just really needs, like, Jordan Waters and this running game, they really need to, like, if they can, that can really step up. Like, it kind of, this conversation sounds like it is, and it is going to step up, but that's going to help so much. And for Grayson McCall to stay healthy, if he stays healthy, they give themselves a great opportunity to make it to Charlotte at the end of the year. Team number two on the day are the Syracuse Orange, and they've got a brand new head coach in Fran Brown. It's his first year head coach. They went 6-6 last year, 6-7 after the bowl. They let Dino Babers go, as it kind of felt like the program was maybe kind of plateauing, and just it's time for a change, some freshness. It's, and for Fran Brown, it's his first time really being a head coach, but he has a lot of experience on the NFL level, some coaching different guys, and just kind of hearing about him. He's very optimistic. You can see what drew them to hiring him in the program, and getting kind of behind that, just has this kind of blue collar kind of work ethic to him, and it just, yeah, it was cool to hear him talk and kind of hear to share some thoughts of his. They are returning a lot on offense, 17th in the country in returning production, but they do get a big quarterback transfer in Kyle McCord, who was at Ohio State, and a little bit surprising that he entered the transfer portal. McCord can win, and he was 66% passing, 3,100 yards, 26 touchdowns. And so it's going to be a very different style, because you had Garrett Schrader for the past few years. He almost had 500 yards rushing, net rushing, with 8 touchdowns as your runner. Aronde Gadsden is a name to watch, because this dude, you know, he's kind of one of those tight ends, but also a little bit of a hybrid as well, can play some receiver. This dude was poised to have a big year last year, and he just gets hurt. And, you know, it's been another big piece for them. And, you know, trying to really kind of implement with this new offense, get everyone comfortable. So there's just a newness to them. And so the question is just, what's this first year going to look like for Syracuse? And just looking at their schedule, the big thing with Syracuse is actually they miss a couple of the big teams. They don't play Florida State. They don't play Clemson. They don't even play like a North Carolina. But then what does this kind of look like? You know, they get Georgia Tech in week two, Stanford. They go to UNLV in Las Vegas, and then go to Raleigh, or off, and then go to Pitt. So a lot of back-to-back. And then you get Virginia Tech at home, and then you go at BC, back to California. So the question for them is, you know, will they go to a bowl? I feel like if they go to a bowl, that would be a success. And when you're trying to bring in a whole new system, a whole new team, you can see some wins, but it's just like, where are they going to get that sixth win, I think is kind of the big question for them. And I kind of see them in like a middle-of-the-pack kind of way for Syracuse. But I think if they make it to a bowl game, I think that's a successful year for the Orange. Third team on the list, and a team that is definitely one of the ones that you should probably circle at ACC Media Days, and especially with their head coach, can make a lot of the news with the transfer portal, are the Clemson Tigers. Clemson comes in after, for the first time in a long time, not winning 10 games. They came in 9-4 last year. Dabo Swinney has been the head coach for a while. Offensively, they were almost 30 points a game. Defensively, gave up 21.1, another good year in that respect, but, you know, wanting to improve on third down defense in the red zone. Offensively, there's just too many costly turnovers, especially in the red zone, so you want to return that more up. Production-wise, they were 15th in the country returning on offense, only 87th on defense. And so I think just you're wanting to see, like, what's that maturity level going forward? What's that maturity level in the next step up? You know, Cade Klubnik in year two, Phil Maffa as the guy. Will there be a receiver that really steps up and is the guy, especially a deep threat for them? Can all the receivers stay healthy is a really big question. It hasn't happened for a few years. Offensive line, you know, are they going to really step up and continue to be a full line together? You know, especially the sophomore class of freshmen going into sophomore year this year, how will they do? Barrett Carter comes back, and I think it's really huge for this Clemson team to build depth and to build have that experience and just institutional knowledge. I think that's very important for them. And then R.J. Mickens in the back end, I think that's important. They get Tyler Venables back, who was out all last year, and just all he has to bring. So, and I just, when they were kind of coming through their rounds, you can just kind of tell, like, they're not, like, talking too much or just saying, like, all these things. They're just really focusing, you know, obviously on the week to week, but also just as the season as a whole. And it just, they just seem like a very focused team. Cade seems like he's just taken another step up. He really is just focusing on, you know, just being more automatic, quicker in his decisions. And really just talking about being a leader and stepping out offensively. And you could say that maybe the past couple years, if Clemson has had that. Obviously, the big one for Clemson is they go to Atlanta and play the number, you know, probably number one team in the country in Georgia. And it's a neutral game, but there'll be a lot of Bulldogs in that stadium. They're a double-digit underdog in that game, but you can just tell that they're ready to go. And then they have a tough, you know, you don't want to overlook this. They have tough with App State in week two in their home opener, and then they get NC State, and then Stanford, and then they go on the road to Florida State. So this can kind of play out a few different ways for them. I think Harvard ends in Georgia. You know, obviously they want to play their best, but you don't want to hang over into App State because then that can kind of snowball. But this team just feels like it just feels mature. Feels like some guys are stepping in as leaders, and I don't necessarily see that happening. The question is, can they take the next step in being especially explosive offensively and really take away those really costly turnovers, just the massive costly turnovers? Because if you take some of those away, some of those ball games are different than last year. The big one probably in the circle is going to Florida State, where they'll play DJ Uiagalelei, who's now the quarterback, obviously, at Florida State. That one's a big one. They host Louisville. They go to Virginia Tech, which is tough. The Hokies should be a tough out. They go to Pitt, which they lost last time they were there, and then obviously South Carolina. They're definitely in the mix to be in Charlotte, for sure. We'll give out our predictions in another episode later, but they're definitely in the mix and a team to watch, absolutely. And then finally, for our last team coming in, ACC kickoff is one of the teams from North Carolina, the North Carolina Tar Heels. The Tar Heels were 8-5 last year. Mack Brown is in his sixth year back, his 16th overall. Offensively, they're returning 113th on offense in production and 66th on defense. So really low offensively, kind of in the middle of the pack defensively. They have a new defensive coordinator in Jeff Collins, who is used to be the head coach of Georgia Tech. He's a good defensive coordinator. They let Gene Chizik go. So that'll be interesting to see how he kind of implements that. That's kind of the big question for me with North Carolina is, well, what's one of them? What's that defense going to look like with Jeff Collins? And then can they really keep themselves in games? Because I don't know offensively. I think they can still be up. Like, they'll still be able to score points, but it probably won't be as strong. I mean, you lose Drake May, you know, top two quarterback that win the draft. It's hard to replace that. They're 20th in the country in scoring. So, you know, they're still trying to figure out who will be their quarterback. They get Max Johnson, who was at A&M last year and in the LSU before, threw for 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns. They also had Connor Harrell also be battling out for the job. So interesting to see who kind of goes from there. It kind of seems like Max Johnson will get the start, the lefty. We'll kind of get the start and kind of see from there with them. Amarion Hampton, you have to talk about with them. He has a strong shot at making first team all ACC in the preseason. Had like 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5.9 a clip. I mean, he's just a workhorse back. And they get an interesting one. They had a home and home with Minnesota schedule-wise. They go to Huntington Bank Stadium in Minneapolis there. And then they have a couple of games in the middle. And then they go at Duke, Pitt, Georgia Tech, and then off at Virginia, at Florida State, Wake at home, at BC, NC State. So they're just kind of a mystery team. I think we will know, you know, I think after, you know, middle October, you know, we'll know a lot more about them and kind of what their identity is. And especially offensively and then defensively in the back end, like what will that kind of look like? But they're a little bit of a tougher team to peg. they've been kind of thrown out a couple times, like maybe in a top team that could make it to Charlotte. I'm not quite as sure with them. Pick six previews has them like eighth. That seems kind of a little bit more right to me, just because also we just have a lot of questions and a lot of questions to know with them, especially when you're replacing, you go from Sam Howell, Drake May, like those are two very strong quarterbacks that have been for them. What's this offense going to look like? Amarian Hampton, it's been great last year, but they need him for the long haul, so they're probably going to pull it back a little bit with how much they're going to use him. So there's just a lot of questions coming into this. So those are the four teams today. Guys, this has been such a blast being here. I have loved it so much. It's been four full days. It hasn't been this long before. It's the first time they've been at this hotel. I have loved it. They've been very hospitable. I've very much enjoyed my time getting a bounce around to, you know, the big room with the media, getting to ask a couple questions. They had a really cool display with all the jerseys. You could take pictures with a big display with ACC banner and a couple of trophies. They had breakout rooms where you could ask some questions. Got to play a little bit on the six with EA College Football. That was fun. Shout out to Faxon. He was killing me in the first quarter, was being very risky with some of my throws, but that was really fun. Just had a fun experience. Had fun. You know, they had a whole display for the Pop-Tart Bowl and, you know, little cards for Pop-Tart mascot, Bojangles. It's been super fun. Such a fun blast. Thankful for just the opportunity just to be here. So this has been really fun, and I'm excited and hopeful to come back next year. But the fun thing is, we got football. We're less than a month from football happening and actual games to talk about. I think that will be just good. It gets to a point in this where you're like, this is so fun with all the preseason talk, but you're like, man, let's just snap the ball. Let's do it. Let's go. That'll be really fun. So in the upcoming bit, stay tuned. I'll release who I voted for the ACC preseason team, ACC Player of the Year, and my pick for Charlotte, and who I'm going to win all of it. You know, I'm going to take some time, you know, with all this information. I'm going to take it in, digest it a little bit, and kind of just see what I feel good about, and we're going to roll with it, and then we got more to talk about. So, guys, thanks so much for listening. This has been such a blast. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast. This is Nick Roby signing out for the last time in Charlotte, but we'll be coming back to you very soon. I hope you have a good rest of your week and weekend. We'll see you later.